Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Time on a Friday. Patriots signed Christian Hackenberg yesterday. Fourth string quarterback. Sorry, what did I just say?
Christian Hackenberg.
They had him in. What did I say?
Signed him.
The two just getting my ears. They had him in. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said the Patriots signed him.
Oh, no, they didn't sign. They had him in for a workout.
Yeah. Real quick.
They looked at him.
Yeah. Real quick. Shout out to the Yankees.
Greg Bird. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got caught up, too. I got fired up for Greg Bird and the Yankees. That's his new walk-up song. So he's my new rooting interest there.
Hackenberg got cut by Oakland, soon to be Vegas. Did you hear John Gruden's excuse?
Weird, man.
On this?
Yeah.
You hear about this stupidity?
If you love a guy and the guy's good and you think he can play, you keep him.
Yeah. Can we hear John Gruden? We have that? Let's hear the Gruden, Chucky. That's what I was looking
for. Yeah, he's disappointed in not really giving Christian the opportunity to go to camp. Like I said, we felt we needed to add a couple defensive linemen. We ran out of numbers, and that's not good at that position heading into camp. It's hard to get one guy ready right now, let alone two and three. But Connor Cook's game is moving up. He's doing better. He still, I think, has some rough edges that he can improve. E.J. Manuel's an athletic guy. He's made some strides. But right now, it's Derek Carr, and it's wide open after that.
Oh, boy. He's blaming the CBA.
Connor Cook was the guy that played against Houston in that playoff game. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah.
Remember when Derek Carr got hurt and Oakland's season went down the tubes? Connor Cook couldn't throw it in the ocean 5 feet away. Sorry, Michigan State. He's a Michigan State kid, right? Yeah, sorry, Hardy. Sorry. The point is, if Hackenberg's good enough, you cut one of the other ones, or you go into camp with four. What's the problem with going in with four? You have more numbers at camp. What's the issue? I mean, what he's trying to tell you is the issue is I have limited time to work with quarterbacks. Is the same type of time, comparing it to the type of time I had when I was in the league before as a head coach.
But he knows this, though, because he complained about it on ESPN back in October. He talked about it being different in his introductory press conference. This should not have come as a news flash to him.
Yeah, what's he feel bad about?
It's the CBA's fault? You're going to blame the CBA? That's what you're going
to
do?
All that time. Enough time to get one guy ready.
I don't understand that. My guess is he looked at Hackenberg, and Hackenberg's not very good. And we'll find out in the coming days if the Patriots decide to sign Christian Hackenberg. What do they think of him?
Well, let's see. Knowing the offense, too. See, and that's the thing. He ran Billy O'Brien's offense at Penn State. He was pretty good at Penn State that freshman year. Pretty damn good. And that's tough offense Billy runs. And here's the thing. You know, Gruden loves the West Coast. Did he just go in there and from a terminology standpoint, I don't have the time to sit down with this kid and teach him the offense.
Hackenberg, second round pick in 2016. He is the only quarterback in the last 30-plus years who was drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft and then did not take a regular season snap in either of his first two seasons.
Zone, and I want you to make a few reminders. The first reminder is you're not Cam Newton.
This is with Hackenberg in the QB camp. Going back to 2016.
I don't see you as a read option quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't see you as a guy running quarterback counter plays or quarterback power plays. Am I right?
You're not a very good runner.
You're not a very good dancer.
Yeah.
What, you got dancing with him now? Heading down a club.
He's there for 3 weeks, never took a snap, but it's the CBA's fault. Do you have a fear that Gruden's not going to be very good as a head coach?
I'm starting to
think he's not going to be very good.
Like he's detached.
That he's been out of it too long. He's been out of the game too long. is what it comes down to.
The mindset of the guys that play the game changed, too. This isn't the same team with your Barrett Robbins and your Rich Gannons and stuff. Jerry Rice. Remember that? He had Jerry Rice in that crew.
Charlie Garner was a great running back.
Charlie Garner.
2 years.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good reference.
He was wearing the shield, the Raiders, the shirt, with like the guy taken out of the middle of the shield.
So Who was?
Gruden. That's got to be some kind of like message to the team, right?
Yeah.
You got to earn your pirate raider.
Earn me, raider.
Can you earn a raider?
You want to be a raider? You want to get on that boat and grab them people and take over that boat and raid the boat?
All right, now from a Patriots perspective, do you want them to sign Christian Hackenberg? Do you think he can play?
I don't know. I'm not crazy about what they have.
Why do you think they're looking at him?
Because I think they're not crazy with what they have. Because he knows their offense. He ran their offense. That he could actually function in camp. That maybe they saw something through 2 weeks of Danny Etling.
No. I think you've got this all wrong. I think that they are going to, every time there's a guy who's available, they're going to take a look. They're going to take a look now.
They have to.
They did it with Manziel.
They have to take a look now.
Yeah.
So does that make it, so if that's Bill Belichick's approach, anytime there's a young quarterback that is available and can be looked at and he can get them in for a workout and he's going to do it, does that sound like a guy who's going to retire?
No.
Who's about to quit?
No.
Because I don't think it does.
Mm-mm.
I think he's very much still in control. I think that he's calling the shots, and I think he wants to develop that next quarterback. I think he does. Colin Coward disagrees. He thinks Bill's about to quit.
To me, it sends a very obvious message. The end is near. If you're in a relationship, if you're at a company, you're an attorney, you're a school teacher, and the end is near. Here's two things that always happen. You stop fighting over the little stuff. What's the point? You're a school teacher, 28 years, retiring in 8 months. Why get into big arguments with the principal? The end is near. You don't fight over the little stuff. Bob Kraft perhaps suggested Brady Gronk not here. Let's cancel the last days. Belichick, all right, why fight over the little stuff? And number two, this is the second thing that happens when the end is near. You don't really care about long-term things. That's somebody else's problem. Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. That's somebody else's problem. Josh McDaniels, we bought him back from Indianapolis. That'll be somebody else's problem. I think what has happened in New England is that Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, has sat down with nearly 70-year-old Bill Belichick, and he said, Billy, in this last 18 years, we all got famous, we all got rich, we all got rings, we all became legends. The end is near. Let's get one great last year out of Tommy. It's starting to fray. I'll re-sign Gronk. Let's not, fight over the little stuff. I don't want you to worry about the quarterback position long term. I own the team. That'll be my issue. But for Belichick, of all the people, to cancel the last 2 days of OTAs. I mean, this is a guy whose mantra is no days off. This is a guy whose mantra is do your job. The end is clearly near.
So why is he working out Christian Hackenberg?
That's signing his fullback.
Yeah, I just don't think. I think that
from Navy.
You know, he says that he's not worried about the quarterback thing in the future. Yeah. I think he is. I think there's evidence to the contrary, and that's why I think. That's why I think he's not done.
Yeah, you're an injury away, man.
I do not believe that Dave Dunbar. I'm looking at the call screener. Just said what was
I wish I had one. I wish I had one.
I do not believe that Josh McDaniels has taken over the future part of it, or he's the guy picking the next quarterback or any of that. It's still in Bill's control. It's still up to him, and he's still very much engaged. I think Coward's wrong on this. How about the analogy, though? There's always the analogy. This time it was a school teacher.
Yeah.
You don't fight with the principal when you're close to being done. You get all those years in as a school teacher.
I kind of go with the cop. You know, you're the cop, and you got your buddy, and there's your partner. And, you know, you're driving in a car, and you get a call like, hey, man, we got this robbery. And
you go to the liquor store.
There's a stick up. You know what? Why don't you handle it? Because I'm like two weeks from retirement. Here's the gun. Why don't you finish this up and go get the young bucket?
Also,
I'm going to go back and sit at the desk.
Yes,
I'm going to
finish the part
up.
Of it where Kraft canceled the practice.
Oh yeah,
he's just like, I'm not going to fight it.
You know what? Hey, you know, that's a great point, Robert. We should just give the weekend. What it does though, takes a little bit of edge off the Brady stuff.
Hey, you heard anything about what's going on down in Ravens camp? We heard Harbaugh trolling the Patriots the other day. I sort of am starting to think that that's just how they feel, maybe, and they're just doing things the right way down in Baltimore. I know that hurts to hear. Why don't we touch on that coming up next?
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The fact that your quarterback is out there and he's healthy and he's playing well and he's on target, he's throwing the ball well, he's running the offense, allows everything else to develop. So if you don't have your quarterback out there, everything else kind of stagnates, and I don't think you get as much out of the offseason or training camp as you would. So to me, that's the number one thing. It gives us a chance to really get to where we need to go, the fact that our quarterback's out there.
They have to look at every quarterback from here on out. That's what they have to do. And meanwhile, down in Baltimore, while they're not canceling days of OTAs up here, the Ravens have had some days stripped from them due to some violations of league rules. It was Harbaugh the other day. Importance of the quarterback being there. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson has been reportedly lighting it up down there to the point where his starting quarterback down there, and Joe Flacco, has talked glowingly about him.
Oh.
Did you know this?
I did not know this.
Flacco has spoken about him. We actually have it. You can hear it. Here's Flacco talking about a guy playing underneath him. And that, as you listen to this, I want you to ask yourself a question. Would Tom Brady have ever said this about Jimmy Garoppolo?
I mean, listen, he does a really good job of, he's doing a good job of learning, but he does a really good job of just naturally hanging in there and having his eyes down the field and finding the open guy. And he's gradually getting better at speeding everything up, but you know, he doesn't make mistakes, and he has a knack for finding the guy that is open.
No. It's too detailed. Brady would only go to extent to say Jimmy does a really good job. You know, we all work hard. Jimmy works hard. I like Jimmy, and Jimmy has earned the respect of his teammates. That's it. That's
a little too honest, isn't it? A little too honest from Joe Flacco. He's just telling you how it is.
It's a little too much for me, too, after only 3 days. I mean, give me a break.
What do you mean? It's been 3 days.
Or whatever.
They have OTAs. Their guys show up for OTAs.
OTAs. I'm talking about structured minicamp where you're up under center and you're doing the team stuff.
Yeah, they gave him reps with the ones for the entire final day.
That's it. One day.
He's doing a good job.
And that was until he talked after that final day.
But the key thing is he didn't crap his
pants. The Patriots don't end up regretting not taking this guy.
They passed on him twice in the first round.
I'd hate to see him go to the Ravens and have a quarterback playing ahead of him that's helpful in his growth and is offering up assistance and guidance as a longtime starting quarterback who's won a Super Bowl to help the younger guy that they're grooming down there to maybe be the next guy after Flacco is done.
Didn't Josh go down the week of the draft a couple days before to do some last brush-up stuff down in Florida for Lamar?
This is me. Yeah, he did. He spent a lot of time on that guy, and they didn't take him.
I think Josh liked Lamar Jackson.
I would say this.
They passed on him twice.
It's a real kick in the pants when you realize the Ravens are going about their business in a more Patriot-like way than the New England Patriots are.
And their head coach is taking a shot at you, saying, it's nice to have our starting quarterback here.
And then they're trolling you along
they're
the
trolling
way.
Trolling you.
That sucks. Because
well,
I think
they're
the
built
Ravens,
on a rock-solid foundation.
I can't
foundation.
Stand the Ravens. Yeah. I hate the Ravens.
Ravens are turds.
I can't stand it. From the ownership right on down, I can't stand any of that operation.
They're all bums.
But their guys have shown up. They're an AFC team. They've been a competitor with the Patriots for quite some time.
They're your nemesis, man.
Yeah.
They're the only team that really thinks they can come in here and throttle you. Physically beat you up. Ravens don't fear you. They may screw up and lose a game, but they don't fear you. They don't lose on fear.
Billy's in Waltham where the Red Sox thought.
Billy!
What do you got, Billy?
Hey, happy Friday, guys.
Yeah.
So I think we could all agree the Red Sox need some bullpen help. I'm a little skeptical about David Dombrowski's ability to evaluate the relievers. I mean, I feel like it's been a problem with him for a while now. If you go back to, like, his Detroit days, Hardy could probably speak to this. One of their biggest issues was their bullpen. Like, this, it was a mess then, and the Red Sox bullpen's kind of a mess right now. I think we need a few relievers in there.
The time in Detroit was really odd because they couldn't get a closer. They just couldn't get anybody to close out games.
He's never had a good bullpen. It's one of his weak spots. So my question would be, what the hell's your faith for him to go out at the trade deadline and do right by the team if he's looking to acquire a guy? That's why I'm like,
looking for a bat. I don't know, looking for another bat.
I don't know if he's going to be able to identify that.
Looking for some more offense out of third base. That's all he's...
Durbin Feltman.
Durbin Feltman. That's true. The draft pick, Durbin Feltman. Maybe he makes it to the major leagues. Maybe he gets there this year, right after being drafted. Paulie is in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, boys. I just... Here we go. We're going to get a word in. My boy will be cutting me off left, right, and center. So I call to send a message out to all the zeros out there who are talking about Tom Brady's premature demise. Okay? This latest clown talking about, okay, Billy, you know, Bob Kraft saying, let's get one more year out of Tommy. Is anybody paying attention? This guy's still playing at the top level. It's just the MVP. Is anybody paying attention to what he's saying? He says he's going to play to his mid-40s. I told you he's good till 45. Easy after the Atlanta game 2 years ago. He's going to play to his mid-40s, and then he said he's going to step back and take another look and see how he feels.
When was the last time he said that?
He said that, a year and a half ago. It was after the Atlanta game. He said he's going to play before. It was right around that time. It was the Super Bowl. He said he's going to play another 5 years.
He said a lot of things since then, Paulie. He's made a lot of comments about it since that have not said the same thing.
He's still not going anywhere. He's still staying in top form. He's not going anywhere. We're into the last decade of Tom Brady. We're down to the single numbers. Why can't we just relax, enjoy what we have, and play it out to the end, see how this thing goes? And meanwhile, he's playing at a high level. Why is anybody trying to talk him into retirement? This is ridiculous.
Who's trying to talk him into retirement? No one's trying to talk him into retirement. Who's doing that?
You say, they're talking when he's retired. Oh, this year he's got 1 year left. He's got 2 years left. Are they listening to him? Are they watching the way he's playing? He's not even close to retirement right now. He's still at the top of his game. He's playing like a little kid still.
And that was why we started the day talking about what he was telling Oprah in another celebrity interview. He's had more celebrity interviews this offseason than he has football practices. That's a fact. That's just counting.
Didn't Adam Schefter just say like 2 months ago, Tom Brady is not committed to playing in the 2018 football season?
Correct.
Okay.
So I think I have, you know, curiosities in many ways.
Again, this is the mistake that I believe Paulie is making.
I want Brady back.
The mistake is he's playing well. He's not done.
Oh,
well, wait a minute. What if it's not decided by whether or not he's playing well? What if the decision to play, continue playing or stop playing is not at all dependent on how well he's playing? And we've been making that assumption because that's how all guys end up retiring in sports. It mostly depends on their health and how they're playing.
Yeah.
It might be different. It's already different that he's at this age and capable of playing the way he still is.
Just loving the experience of learning new things.
Which is why we should be open to the idea that him walking away
needs a new coverage.
Independent of how good he is.
Yeah, he's got all the answers to the test now. He needs a new coverage or something. Somebody's got to devise like a cover 7.5 or something that Brady hasn't seen. You know, he needs a new challenge.
My wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah, I get
you.
Yes. You know?
He's talking about the pleasure of finding things out. Right?
No.
It's a Richard Feynman book. Somebody sent me a copy. I don't understand it, so it just kind of sits on my shelf, makes me look smart. And it talks about, you know, theory of relativity and different ways of making computers smaller. Just, you know, there's a joy in learning new things.
See, you know,
that's what he's talking about. You going to begrugge him that, Zoe?
No. I drive in today, and it's ding, 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 you know, below 50 miles till empty, right? The fuel light comes on again. You think his fuel light's ever popped on? Do I just want to live on the edge a little bit? Or just, no, I thought about that. We already gassed our trucks up. Right? You get 8 cars, by the way, too. Mr. Save the Earth. And your paper straws.
He's not driving them all
driving
at once.
Drives a tank.
He's not driving them all at
big
once.
Big SUV. He's got that Cadillac, too.
What difference does that make?
12.5 miles a gallon.
So what?
Freaking break.
He doesn't leave the engine running, just sitting in the driveway.
I agree. No problem by me, man. I love the SUVs.
Mm. But,
big ones.
I don't know.
Bigger the better.
I don't know.
And he throws one of those at you. Just have him, a curious person. A curious George.
Paulie may be onto something, though, in terms of like how long you can play.
It's almost like physically.
It's that, you know, where
he's fine physically.
With all the,
now it's the mental part. Like,
right.
Okay, mentally, I'm distracted with this other stuff. Physically, I'm good. I'm show up. We'll go through.
It's about desire
now. We'll do our Pascal. We'll do a 7-on-7. I'll go 20-of-24. No problem. And it looks like last week to me, for the first time in a long time ever, felt to me like he showed up. He put the little piece of paper in the clock, punched the clock, did what he had to do, punched the clock, and then left. Like it's almost like the person you didn't know.
Quickly. On Chris in Kingsborough, he's got a thought on Gronk. What do you got for us, Chris?
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen, what I wanted to know was, have you heard this clip that's been going around with Gronkowski saying, you know, he went to practice and, you know, he's feeling fine and, you know, he's happy. Have you heard that? It's been played on a couple of the other shows on your station.
The key word fun is thrown around by both of them.
Right. So one of the other hosts, not you guys, but made the point that, you know, oh, this is all about fun now. You know, this is crazy. It should be about fun. It should be about winning. But when I heard that, I could swear Gronk was talking about being healthy. All right?
I think that's what he prefaced everything with. Yes, the first time where I feel good.
Yeah, so it's being interpreted by other people that, you know, it's not about that. It's about fun. But actually, I looked at it and said, I think he's talking about being healthy. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. He's sort of stressed that the last couple times he's talked, that when you don't feel great and when you don't feel like you can give everything, you're not having fun. You know, but when you're healthy and you're running around and I just feel great, yeah, you're having fun out there because you could help your team. He said that. When I'm not healthy, I can't help my team.
617-779-0985. More on Tom Brady.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephen Hopkinton has had a grasshopper or two. Steve?
Yeah, hey guys.
Sounds disgusting.
What's up?
Yeah, so about a month and a half ago, I went to the MLB Food Fest in New York, and they had them there. And they do sound disgusting, but they really taste just like sunflower seeds. Like, Jerry's definitely playing that up.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing he was playing up was the spice. Hello?
Hello, Steve.
Stephen Hopkinton.
Spice, we said.
Yeah. What
did you have football scores on your phone?
Spice! He's playing up the spice!
Yes, they're not spicy. They're sunflower seeds.
Attaboy. You get a pulse.
Salty. I bet they got to make them real salty to be palatable.
No. Crunch.
Maybe they're salty by nature.
They make spicy sunflower seeds, too, though.
Yeah, sure they do. They make barbecue. They make ranch. They make all kind of flavors.
Yeah.
I could sit there and spit them seeds out all day, man. It's one thing. One.
Oh,
cool
you
thing.
Like sunflower seeds?
I do.
No, you don't say. Really?
That's nice.
I never
thing.
Took you to sunflower
nice
seeds.
Special human baseball. Wow. He keeps bringing bags of it over. One of the coaches brings a bucket of it over. I'm like, oh, this is great.
That makes you really different from everybody else.
Well, Zoe's done. Nice going, Peter. You should have left it alone. I got one shot in, and that was enough, but you took it too far.
Sorry, somebody's bringing us lunch today.
That brings back. We reel him right back in.
Back in.
Just when you think he's left and he's gone, we reel him right back in with some free lunch. Right. That's what we do.
I mean, when you go to a ball game, I plan on eating at the game. I'm not a big like go out to dinner beforehand. No, part of going to a game is
hate that.
Eating a hot dog.
Yes,
you know, grabbing a slice if you're at the Garden, just something, anything.
Yeah,
right?
You get a little mustard on your hand, lick it off the thumb, or there's a mustard packet.
I don't think
give me some of that spicy mustard with it.
Right, the fried grasshoppers or fried crickets are going to fill you up. That's just you're just it's a novelty.
Well, it's just a snack.
I don't really
a grasshopper snack.
And I know Fenway's done a nice job with all their, you know, concessions and that, but do you really want to go to a ball game and eat clam chowder?
No.
No.
But I eat a lot of the other stuff at Fenway or Wood.
Right. But, I mean, sure. It's basically, it's chicken fingers, french fries, it's a hot dog, or sausage and peppers.
Yeah.
Other than that, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, I say I would eat a lot of like this.
Rice balls,
I really wouldn't. I'm with you, Zoe.
Yeah,
it's a sausage or a hot dog.
It's hard enough to sit in the seats as it is. You just don't want to complicate yourself carrying all this, like, okay, I got a big slice of pizza here. Now
right.
I need this. And it's, you can't eat.
Right.
Finger food. You want
no,
finger
it,
food.
It has become a little absurd how sophisticated the food is at sporting arenas.
Yeah. It's a little obnoxious.
It's obnoxious.
Right.
Is what it is.
It is. Even like, here's what we're going to do with the hot dog. We're going to get a super 12-inch hot dog. We're going to roll it in bacon. We're going to deep fry it. Then we're going to put bread in it. And then, no. Just put the damn hot dog on the bun. Roll it up in some tinfoil.
Right. Can you sell hot dogs? Just sell hot dogs. Yes.
The hot dog that my kid would eat.
Have a hot dog stand. Cracker Jacks. Right. Popcorn. Can you even get Cracker Jacks anymore?
I don't think so.
It's Cracker Jack. Singular.
The Cracker Jacks.
No, Cracker
Jacks. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. No, it's...
No S on the end. It's Cracker Jack.
Josh and Webster. Josh.
It is.
Hey.
Why do you get a picture of a sailor on the box? Do you notice that?
You guys
dressed in blue? Cracker Jack.
You guys are talking about... talking eating at games.
Yeah.
And I can't stand when I go to games. And, like, the AFC Championship game, and people come back, like, 5 minutes later, 5 minutes into the, like, third quarter, because they're waiting in line. Like, I don't understand that logic about eating at
games. Probably the amount of people that are at that game.
So you're saying it's not worth it to eat at a game because there's a wait.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, no, people, like, the AFC Championship game, you should be sitting in your seat watching the game.
Oh, so right. You're upset with the fans who have chosen to go get food and wait and then miss part of the game.
Yeah, like 5 minutes. It was the third quarter. Like,
well, I tell you what, the AFC Championship game I did attend, and that one I broke protocol because my sugar daddy took me out to lunch before the game.
Andy, yeah. The sugar daddy,
the Wong father.
Did you run out of battery with your cell phone too? From all the pictures,
a lot of pictures being taken.
I did not. Sarge blew through the battery on his cell phone. He was at 100% at kickoff. Battery was gone by the end of the game due to the. Enormous amount of selfies and tweeting and Instagram that he did. But I agree. That is a game where, okay, I'm not planning on eating at that one because I'm watching every snap from my seat and I never left. Didn't leave my seat. That's one you don't leave. You stay there. On a halftime, we're going to go, nope, may not make it back. I can hold it. I can hold everything. I'm good.
I like to buy Zoe chicken fingers at the game.
At the football games?
Yeah.
Well,
are you bringing in chicken fingers to the booth?
Here's the problem.
Oh.
Here's the problem. There's a little new booth behind our booth, and it is a...
poutine.
It's a poutine booth. So it's the fresh-cut fries, and they will put barbecue on it. They will put gravy. They will put cheddar curds. They will put whatever delight that you want on there and build it the right way. But there, right across the way from them is the chicken finger stand.
You should see it.
With the Ken's Steakhouse Ranch dressing.
You can really excite this boy with a... Some chicken fingers, Hardy, like you wouldn't believe.
A little dip right there, a little dip, and then you reach over.
Bring him
dip.
In. Here's some chicken fingers.
Oh, Beetle.
Guy goes nuts.
Yep. I don't ask for a lot.
He doesn't. He gets simple pleasures.
I would think you guys would be fed whatever you want.
No, we are, but like, it's usually not till halftime, so.
Sometimes the food's on delay, and if you got there really early, like I'm there 3 hours prior to kick.
When I do it, it's at the start of the game.
Yeah.
It's at the start of the game.
And it's just one little taste of something.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's what it is.
Something to hit your, you know, just makes my call a little more relaxed.
It makes him that much
more. Not as high strung.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
It helps his game broadcast. It's all about the broadcast. 617-779-0985. Noontime hour is here on this Friday. That means Josie's coming up in 90 seconds. And more on the Patriots. Don't go anywhere.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The phones we go. 617-779-0985. Patrick in Worcester up next. Hello, Patrick.
Vito, what's good, Zell?
Hey.
Yay.
So, what's up, guys? So this is the past year and a half,
of Brady bringing us into his personal life, for me personally, has been like digging into your favorite TV star in their personal life. One of my favorite series, Shameless, Fiona Gallagher, the character she plays, Dream Woman. As soon as I followed Emmy Rossum, who plays her on Instagram, it was just kind of a severe letdown. They were nothing like I thought they were. I'm not saying I don't love Brady. He's the man. But listening to these interviews, man, it makes it real tough when he's not throwing touchdown passes over the offseason. And a quick side note, does anybody notice that his voice goes up 5 octaves in the Oprah interview compared to when he's post-game interview? He's pretty monotone, just kind of talks normal, but he has this like weird voice pitch thing when
he's always had that. He's always had that.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Even going back to the Bill Belichick of Football Life. Remember when he hurt his knee, came back, and Bill's telling him, set his feet, throw the ball to Kevin. He's like, which one? Hit him in the hands. Yeah, he'll go from the highest pitch to the lowest pitch, man. I mean, he's got a deep voice.
Fair enough. That was my only point, guys. All right.
All right, very good.
Yeah, I like to get on for that, but he's done it before.
You would have preferred to just not know anything about his private life or his private thoughts.
I think
keep those to yourself.
It's like that. I think.
I don't want to know you.
This is almost like it with famous people, though. Like, less is more. Like, you probably end up liking. I mean, everybody's got a comment for everything. You know, Robert De Niro this week. Some people have been killing him. Some people have been praising him for what he said. Just do your movies. Just throw touchdowns. Just swing your golf club. Just swing your baseball bat. It's almost like you like the people more from afar, and then you really start to find out about them. And now you find them, you nitpick it. Like Karen with the email today. Karen with the email said we were rough on them yesterday. We weren't rough.
They were mean-spirited.
We were fair.
Okay, we got a follow-up email that basically said we were the same. Yeah.
Oh, Karen.
Unless she didn't have a chance to call in was all.
Karen!
It's fine. Look, you end up liking some people more, you end up liking some people less the more you find out about them.
He doesn't like the bare feet.
I like Tom Brady's loyalty because you'll note in the Oprah Winfrey interview who's sitting off to the side watching. Did you happen to see?
Did not.
I don't know if this clip has been available as one of the previews. I saw a bit of it last night over at NBC Sports Boston. Mm-hmm. Brian O'Neill sitting there watching a couple of the little clips there. You know who's sitting off to the side smiling?
Who?
No.
Jim Gray.
No!
Right next to Giselle.
Well, Gray knew that he was there. Remember, he brought it up and said, you could tell everyone who you were. You could tell everybody who you were with.
And he's just beaming, sitting on a little stool, his hands clenched between his thighs.
Tom, you're going to talk to Oprah now, Tom?
What's weird? We were in Denver last year, and like I'm sitting there, standing there talking to Jim Gray, and Tom comes by. He gives a head nod, a little fist bump, and then he just bowls right by Jim Gray. Jim's like, hey, Tommy.
Hey, I'll scratch your back for you, Tom. So I got my nickname, like, Scratchy.
When he needs him, he has him. I don't know.
Tom's in Worcester. Tom.
Well, I had something to say, but the last guy from Worcester totally said exactly what I wanted to talk about.
What was that?
Well,
why don't you sing a song? Say it again, please.
Well,
reiterate.
He's completely unrelatable, and it's really disappointing. And I don't remember who said it, probably many years ago, but beware of meeting your heroes, you know, because they're never what you think they are. Although I have to say, I met all of you guys, and you're exactly what I thought you were.
Nice.
Scott Zolak, American hero.
Yep.
So can I ask you real fast?
Yeah, bud.
Where do you want the band to set up this weekend? On the pool or on your deck? And I can't get a marked car, but I can bring an undercover car with me.
Are you serious about this?
Yeah, he's going to bring the band to your house this weekend. I'm going to set up and play a little live show.
I want to play that and then go right around and shoot some signs.
What day are we all invited?
I don't think Tom's serious.
Beetle, you ever been invited to the Zolak compound?
I have.
Yeah. Have you been?
I have not.
Neither have I. I've been invited. I've gotten like half-ass invitations,
but not
a real one.
Too hot
for
you Sunday?
Be maybe here like
yeah,
2
no,
p.m.
I've never had an invite like that.
Yeah, that's a real invite.
Right. It's been like, oh, you know you can always come over.
Yeah. It's not the same.
God. All right, Tom. Be well.
Okay. Bye. It's not the same. One day. Maybe.
There's never not like, hey, come over. I'd like to have you guys over on
I'm having a big pool
July
party
10th.
On so-and-so.
You know, whatever it might
right,
be.
Right.
Good date. Maybe. Yeah, we're doing this.
July 10th is a Tuesday.
I'm just saying. That'd be the day you invite us.
That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it can't work for me either.
July 14th.
Man, it can't work for me either. I got to do that July 7th. Broadcast thing.
July 7th.
It's 4th
no,
of July.
No, that's 4th of July week.
You're home
no.
or no?
No, no, no.
Okay. Oh, wow. Excuses.
Don't go to my house. I'm not there, though.
July 1st. June 24th.
September 19th.
September 19th might be a nice day.
December 25th.
No, it's Christmas.
Oh, is it?
Peter in Medfield. Hey, Peter.
Hey, I got a good conspiracy for you guys.
What do you got?
I got, all right, so how did Bob Kraft make his fortune and put him in position to buy the Patriots?
Paper.
Paper. Yeah, boxes.
Right.
And now we have Tom Brady talking about paper straws. And where do most of the materials needed for producing
paper
products come from?
A paper factory.
Cutting down trees.
You know, I've always said the first key to finding a good paper straw is finding a good paper factory.
Follow the money.
That's what I've always said.
Follow the money.
Just say no. Not falling for your ruse, straw.
Don't ever play that again on my show.
Or so his can't show, handle or his how show. Weird Brady has become. He can't handle it.
And he's sitting there.
He can't handle it.
Get his naughty finger out. It's like, remember when, remember Tommy Boy when they're sitting there and he wanted the chicken wings and he's got the roll and he's got the little roll in his
hand. And
I'm
pat it.
I'm talking to you like a bat.
You're naughty.
You're naughty roll. Brady's getting to that point where it's like, you naughty, you straw. You not falling for your ruse. You naughty, naughty.
I killed my planet!
And then I bend the straw, the paper straw, and I can't suck my protein shake through it, and it's all ruined.
Why was Kyrie Irving not at Game 7 against the Cavs? And we hear Kyrie Irving sing a song next.
Look at these straws. These are pretty cool.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tiger Woods now 11 over at the U.S. Open, if you were wondering where he's at. Not a good day for him. Kyrie Irving was not at Game 7 between the Cavs and Celtics. He had surgery. Deviated septum, right?
Yeah.
I have another theory.
Huh.
He had that surgery to make sure that it was done in time to be out promoting his Uncle Drew movie. The promotion, the press tour, events surrounding it, being at the Garden the other day.
Yep.
Doing interviews, having a press conference.
Okay.
Couldn't afford to not be there for that.
True.
Probably why he had to have that surgery when he had it.
Do you blame him for that? I don't. Like, you knew the movie was being made. You knew it's being released. You have an issues. You need to get him taken care of.
I don't know.
They got the knee taken care of. You're not playing. I mean, I understand. He's been there on the sidelines. How much are you really going to sit there and rely on, what Jason Tatum going to glance over?
I don't know.
Oh, my God, there's Kyrie. I got this one.
I just go back to what Mark Jackson said. Mark Jackson knows a lot more about the NBA than I ever will.
Okay.
And he was the one that said, having a guy like that on your bench is like having another coach on your staff.
There was
helping a young player like Terry Rozier.
There was one moment in the finals where Iguodala was not dressed, and he was behind the bench. Who was that that he pulled over?
So
was that,
all I know is that in the moment, I know it's hard to remember because it's been a few weeks.
Yeah.
But the next day, when we found out it was the surgery, we said, what, he couldn't find another day to do it?
Yeah, but at that time, the days stack up, and man, he probably put it off the last minute, and then that was the cut. Got to get it done, or you're not getting done.
Yeah, but why didn't he have a cut? To promote a movie.
Yeah.
To promote a movie.
But you knew this movie's coming. The movie's done.
He's also on the soundtrack to the movie singing. Do you want to hear it?
I
know I do.
Yes, please.
Jim promised it. Let's hear it.
Are you serious?
This is ridiculous.
Singing, by the way, not rapping.
Good.
Singing.
I'm sorry. Like it already.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin.
I'm at the knowing what we like. Every single day and night.
Ridiculous.
Party like it's 95. Matter of fact, I think it's about that time.
All right.
sade's on me, me and my guys. And when we come through, they lose. Hey, my whole crew's ridiculous.
Every I don't know, it's pretty funky. It's, you know what's got Hardy? It's got a little House of Pain flair to it. A lot of overmodulated production, so it doesn't sound anything like him.
It's like Rebecca Black. Friday.
And Chub Rock. Remember Chub Rock? Chub Rock, 1993, is on the scene with a pocket full of dream. Jim, pull up a little Chub Rock from back in the day. Candy Rain.
I've had
it's not good.
Sucks.
So what's your theory again, Beetle?
That this is the crap that he needed to have that surgery for, which is why he wasn't at Game 7. He needed to worry about the promotion of the movie.
Huh. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's why. You couldn't move the promotion of the movie. The movie date was set.
But I also...
He needed to be available to be doing all the crap related to the movie.
Yeah, and he's obligated to do some of it, but I think Fred Toucher probably... called this one early.
What do you call
based on the amount of product placement we've just seen, like in the trailers and the cross promotion and stuff, this movie probably needs to do next to nothing at the theaters in order to make money. It's probably made money already based on the amount of money they're going to get from products and product placement.
Go.
Couldn't have cost much to make, could it?
Here we go.
1990, Chub Rock jumps
up on
the scene with a lean and a pocket full of
green.
I nailed it.
This is ridiculous.
I really don't hear it.
You know, we were celebrating your perfect pitch yesterday, and now we have to do this with him.
Right.
Him being
isn't that perfect pitch? I identified the same note. I mean, yeah, I deserve a lot of credit, but not as much credit. In fact, you sing me a note and I tell you what the note is, I can't do that, but... It was pretty impressive. A lot of people were
I'd rather have Chub Rock than this.
You sound nothing alike.
He's a little...
Come on. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, they're both taking the bass line for a walk. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Black on black, remember that. Yeah! Anyway, the shunless
one bring forth the fun. No hate. Nailed it!
No, Zoe can't keep a beat. Notice that.
Oh, easy, DJ Smooth.
No, do it. See if you can do it.
This is ridiculous.
You can't do it.
Ridiculous. I think we exhausted that.
Well, Dane and Beverly. We know it's bad.
Dane.
It's just bad.
Dane, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, Dave?
This is going to be a great call. I can already
How's Beverly? Pretty up there.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous. North Shore, you got to get up here. But, Hardy.
Yeah.
And Beetle, cracking.
Hi, Dane. We're 22 seconds into the call.
Let's go.
It's been a lot of
right. So I am in hockey withdrawals. I don't know about you guys. I haven't heard you guys talk about the signing of a draft pick. Left shot defenseman. We've been talking about this.
This is a joke?
No.
Oh.
What do you know? They signed a left shot defenseman right out of the draft. Signed him in 2000 or drafted him in 2016.
Yeah. And what do you think?
I think he's a defensive minded. Not a whole lot of points, and I think he's gonna. They think he's gonna rip it.
I like when
and
he
also,
rips it.
Yeah.
All right, can we talk about something more interesting related to the Bruins? Ilya Kovalchuk, in or out?
Hey.
Dane.
Come on, Dane.
In.
Yes.
Ilya Kovalchuk?
Yes. In.
Oh, I'm in on him.
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
All right, now we got your
line. Attaboy, Dane.
Here we go.
Wake up, Dane.
You guys have read about this at this point. Did you remember how long it had been since he played in the NHL?
2 years, right?
Five.
Oh, I thought it was fewer years than five when I read that.
There's a big convergence of events.
2013 was his last year in the league.
Around that time, I won't bore you with it, but I remember exactly when we were talking about it, and it was summer of 2013, which leads me to he last played in the NHL over 5 years ago. So I like the idea of Ilya Kovalchuk from 5 years ago. I have no idea what he's been doing since. Well, I know what he's been doing, but I don't know what kind of hockey he's playing.
Do you know why I like it? Because you could probably get him on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And under...
That's my...
Didn't Felger want him like 8 years ago?
Yeah, eight years ago. Really bad. Well, he was really good.
Kovalchuk, if I remember, was the one where the NHL stepped in and said, no, you can't sign a contract like that. Wasn't he the outrageously...
It was the 13-year deal, right?
The outrageously like front-loaded contract where he was making like $10 million a year for like the first three.
Yeah, it was with the Devils.
And the last two, he was making like $200,000.
Yeah, the NHL rejected Ilya Kovalchuk's 17-year, $102 million contract with the New Jersey Devils. That happened in July of 2010. The NHL said it circumvents the league's salary cap.
Yeah, because no one believed he'd be playing the final 2 and 3 years of that deal for like $200,000 a year.
Well, just think, if he was into that deal, he'd still have a decade to go. Nine years left. You have 9 years left on his deal. It says, under the CBA, the contract triggers a number of possible next steps that may be elected by any or each of the NHLPA Players Club players, NHL Bill Daly's statement said, in the interim, the player is not entitled to play under that contract, nor is he entitled to any of the rights and benefits that are provided under the contract.
So you got the obscene amount of money to go play in Russia, which is what he decided to do. Who knows what goes on over there?
In terms of what? In terms of hockey or in terms of the
Russian elements?
Testing policies, which could include
PEDs,
spinning babies.
I would just assume
that those blood thinner.
I would just assume his blood is filthy right now,
and he's a filthy rich Russian athlete, which means he's probably being extorted by somebody. That's probably all. It's all part of the deal of being in Russia.
I just don't know how you get out. You know, how did he manage to go back to Russia and play under you know those terms, which were very favorable to him money wise, and now he's. And he's leaving? There's a lot of question marks with that. Ilya Kovalchuk, I love the name. I love the idea of him 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now, I have no idea. I have no idea what he would be like playing anywhere in the NHL, much less for the Bruins.
The reports at the time were that he was going to make $20 million per season playing in Russia.
And what, that didn't go well?
Well, the contract's up. It was 4 years. He signed.
And no one wants to re-sign him over there? I mean, he's not going to make that kind of money playing in the NHL.
Nobody,
not going to make anywhere
probably,
close to
he's
it.
He's probably not going to make that same money in Russia now, which is why for
just
him,
based on the deal he got 5 years ago, logic would dictate that he's able to get more money staying in Russia than he would be coming over here to sign a 1 year contract with
so
the Bruins.
What are you saying? He's not any good anymore? What's the claim?
Smell
there,
a
Hardy?
Rat.
If you smell a rat at this point for the 1 year deal, it's worth
the
risk.
What's the rat element that he's what?
There's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with the player. Something wrong with the situation.
I'm sorry, are you accusing Ilya Kovalchuk of being a spy?
Yes.
You don't know that he interfered with the election, right?
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
That's it.
Headlines with Hardy, 90 seconds, no commercials.